It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. I'll be honest, until about 3 minutes ago, I wasn't sure if this guy was still alive or not. Jesus.
Easy.
Jesus. Welcome in to another edition of Cabali and Mac. Mike Tomlin press conference is right around the corner. We got a lot to talk about, but first and foremost, thanks to our friends at Southwest Greens for helping us present this show to you multiple times every week, including those live post games that we know Ian's love so much. Grass that never needs to be mowed, watered, or fertilized. Have the professionals at Southwest Greens come on out and give a look at your yard today and tell you what they can do. It's more than just fake grass. It's a lawn solution that you will have you with the best looking yard in the neighborhood with the least amount of maintenance. SouthwestGreensPA.com. Can you just do me a favor and never do that again?
Never do what? I was taking a nap.
I text you last night. I said, hey, 9:45, good. Yeah, sure.
Phones on do not disturb. On silent like always.
So, you know, around 9:45, I figure what the heck. I'll throw him a text like I usually do, make sure he's on his way. Just said, where you at? No answer. A couple minutes later, I just give it the horse. Horse, where are you? A couple minutes later, 9:49. You all good? Multiple question marks. 3 minutes after that, hey, buddy. And then I tried calling. No answer.
Silent.
Texted you. Okay, you got me worried now, kaboom. No response. Called again. No answer. I was this close, you son of a bitch, to getting in my car and driving over to your house to make sure you were still alive.
How are you going to get in?
I don't know.
What are you going to do? Ring the doorbell? What are you going to do? No. Sitting there relaxing, taking a little nap. I think I was up at like,
you couldn't set an alarm?
Alarm. Whenever you fall asleep, you fall asleep and you wake up 20 minutes later. That's the word.
What if you had slept for like 4 hours?
That does not happen. 4 hours?
What if something important had been happening in your life? Like your kids were sick at school and somebody needed to go pick them up or something.
Well, shit happens. I don't know.
Jesus Christ. Am I allowing myself to be so all fire worried about you?
I don't know. When have I ever missed anything? I just had the phone on do not disturb. I was talking to you earlier about the guest having.
Which is why I was worried. Because
your circadian rhythm's all thrown off. And God damn it.
You didn't change time zones. You went to Boston, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, but my plane took off so early yesterday that I was up at, I don't even know what time.
You were up at like 4 in the morning.
3:57. You know, so you try to sleep on the airplane.
You stayed up. You watched Monday Night Football. You know, you got the kaboom nap in for like 2 hours in the middle of the night. You wake up at like 4 a.m. and you fall back to sleep. But
I didn't fall back to sleep. I was watching something.
And you didn't for a second think, hey, people want to hear what I have to say because I've been one of the lone defenders of the Steelers starting 2-1. I'll sleep right through the friggin' podcast.
Let me see if I got any messages in my phone. Yeah, I woke up and the kids almost missed the bus. The tire on the car is low. Couldn't fill up my front tire, and the wife had to go to work, so she had to go on a half blown up tire.
Oh my God.
So, and I come home, drank some coffee, and
fell back to sleep.
No, I mean, I must have fell asleep probably at 9:24.
Perfect timing for a 9:45 show to start.
Well, exactly. I mean, 9:24, and I normally get the 42 minutes on the button. So you broke into my.
Well, excuse us for bothering you, Mr. Cabali.
What time did you call? 9:59. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, 9:59, 14 minutes after we were supposed to start because I wanted to make sure you were still alive. I'm sorry, I was concerned.
I couldn't find my computer then. as I was walking around and I couldn't find my headphones.
You are a real piece of work, Kabali. You know that?
I need a good night's sleep.
Well, good morning, friends, Yinzers, countrymen. Kabali's gas emissions aside, we welcome you into Kabali and Mac. Make sure you're following on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram.
What a wuss.
What? Because I was worried that something might be wrong with you.
That was 8 minutes late. You would never be able to handle Buzzsaw. Adamski's like 8 minutes late is his average time of life.
I don't text Adamski the night before telling him, hey, 9:45, and then text with him again a half hour before the show.
Maybe I fell down the steps. That'd been funny.
I mean, I could get you a goddamn medic alert bracelet or something.
I've fallen and I can't get up. That's happened before.
Make sure, yeah, you don't have a third Achilles.
Oh, my goodness. Did you get this email from the school that says head lice?
No.
What was going on here?
Neither one of my kids goes to that school anymore, so.
Head lice letter from parents and guardian. That's like 4 pages long. I'm not reading that.
Yeah, you got to take another nap. Make sure you're following on Instagram. We're at something like 420, 425 followers. When we get to 500, somebody will win this $100 gift certificate to Yoli's, Cucina, and Craft House. Go up there, get yourself some Yoli rolls, maybe a little pasta, a little pizza, ice cold iron, whatever you may need. And don't forget, once we get to 3,018 subscribers on YouTube, we're at about 2780-ish right now, 2785 in that neighborhood, that neck of the woods. So we're not far off. Somebody will have their name drawn and get their choice of the autographed Will Howard Steelers helmet or the Stone Cold Steve Austin autographed vest. All right. Are you appropriately awakened now that we can actually have a conversation? Are you ready to go?
Sure. I don't know what's going on. Has anything happened in the last 20 minutes I should be aware of?
No, I don't think you've missed anything. Although Daniel on YouTube wants to know if you're wearing the wired headphones now because of Rogers.
No, I wear the wired headphones because I bought wireless ones and lost them. And said, to hell with this. I'm never buying those again.
Okay.
Plus, they're like $250 and I'd lose them.
Yeah. I mean, you might fall asleep and never see them again.
I start around like a little baby. Oh, where were you at? I think you're 5 minutes late.
Excuse me for being concerned with your well-being.
You must think I'm like on death's door or something.
No, I was just worried. You've never been 15 minutes late for the damn thing before.
I'm always late.
You've pulled every Achilles possible. I thought maybe something else happened. Anyway. You watch Monday Night Football? Before we get into the Steelers.
I watched didn't miss the first quarter. I missed the first quarter, watched the second, third. Oh, then I watched the rest of it, yeah. I turned off Raw.
Lions 38-30 over the Ravens. The Ravens got a garbage time touchdown to make it feel a little bit closer than it was after the Lions blew it open late. They locked up Lamar. They caused another fumble by Derrick Henry. And once again, Dan Campbell has the largest testicles on earth going forward on fourth down late in the game. And maybe it's his OC that deserves the credit, Jared Goff, Amon-Ra St. Brown for making the catch. But that play on fourth down, I thought, showed a lot of balls too. The Lions and the Bills are right there. I know the Lions have a loss and it was an ugly one, week one, kaboom. But the Lions are right there with the Bills as the best teams in the league. Those two, in my opinion.
Yeah, the Lions showed that they can smack people around last night with that offensive line. It was just basically a Dan Campbell type of game, out physical in a team that's, you know, I mean, would you like to be the Ravens right now and giving up the most points in the league and being in 1-2?
People are supposed to get fired for that, right?
Well, they've scored the most points in the league, but they also have given up the most points in the league. The name of the game right now is win and get better off of wins moving forward. I'm sure the Ravens will get better here as the season goes on, but now they're finding themselves in that 1-2 hole, and they got issues. I mean,
well, look,
Derrick Henry hasn't been Derrick Henry like the past 2 weeks. And if you're the Ravens, that's your bread and butter. You have to have that guy to have a chance to win a Super Bowl. So you have to be a little bit concerned.
Well, I mean, he still has looked like himself at times. He ripped off another longer touchdown run yesterday. It wasn't one of his 50 plus yarders, but I want to say it was like 26 or something. But this is proof positive that you can do the best things in the world for 10, 15 minutes at a time. You can even dominate a game for 30 minutes like the Patriots did on Sunday. But if you turn the ball over, it all gets thrown out the window. Like, that's Derrick Henry has looked like Derrick Henry more often than not through the first three games, except he's also fumbled in every game, which I don't want to say completely negates what he's doing, but it does a lot to negate the results as far as the team's concerned.
Yeah, and he's a guy that doesn't really have that much of a history of fumbling either. So it's not like that's something that teams are gunning for like the Steelers did against the Patriots. Knew Stevenson would put the ball on the ground, so let's go rip the ball out of the guy's hands. So maybe it's just a blip on the radar. But, hey, that defense, too, of the Ravens is flawed, and now they're a little bit banged up. I thought they went out and got all these people in the offseason to prevent games like this. Apparently they did not, or they hasn't lived up to their billing right now. So imagine what they're talking about in Baltimore right now.
Yeah, they're not happy.
They were fire Harbaugh, right?
Yeah, they were without Van Noy and Matabike last night for what it's worth.
Matabike might not be back. Who knows, if ever.
So, look, that's not to make an excuse because they got their asses steamrolled. But their schedule doesn't get much easier. They get the Chiefs on Sunday. You could argue that the Texans aren't that great this year, so maybe that's not a big one in 2 weeks. But then they get the Rams. They get the Vikings a few weeks after that. It does soften up for them in the back third of the schedule, other than the Steelers and some other divisional games. But, a lot of people are going to – there's going to be a lot of counterpoint this week. And what I mean by that is people are going to say – oh, the Ravens got steamrolled last night. And they're going to, they're 1-2, but they lost to the Bills and the Lions, the two best teams in the league. Oh, well, they'll even out. And the other way that that comes up as a discussion is everything surrounding the Steelers. And real quick, I want to thank Impact HVAC for supporting the show. Starting to feel like fall officially out there today. Ironically enough, got a bit of an Irish feel, the weather out there in Western PA today. Kind of cool and rainy and dark. It's going to be furnace time soon. Get it tuned up, get it checked out, make sure it's in working order before you really got to fire it up. Visit Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook or give them a call at 412-297-1852. We appreciate their support of the show. The point counterpoint comes in via the Steelers in a multitude of different ways, and it starts globally up top, which is, well, they haven't played a complete game yet. Yeah, counterpoint. Despite not playing a complete game yet, they've still started 2-1. Counterpoint, well, yeah, look who they've played. They got wins over the Jets and Patriots, two teams that aren't expected to make the playoffs this year. Counterpoint is, well, they forced 5 turnovers, and then back and forth we go. The ball ping-pongs back over to the other side. Someone goes, yeah, they gave up a 17-play drive. So there's a lot of this back and forth. And I think it comes down to how you want to view things through the first three games from an overall perspective. You can look at it and say, man, they're middle of the pack at best in a lot of statistical categories. There's not anything, like I said, they haven't had a complete game overall yet, but they've still started 2-1. So they've started 2-1 and have room for improvement. Or the other side of the coin is, man, these guys gave up 30 points each of the first 2 weeks, and they only beat New England because they forced the 5 turnovers. They got a lot of problems.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can make arguments for everything right now. I just look at the bottom line is they're 2-1 and found a way to win. I mean, the Ravens, okay, they play better teams, But there is nothing against them finding a way to be able to win those games in the end, and they just weren't able to do that right now. I mean, we conveniently left out Seattle, who, you know, that was a game that they could have easily won if it wasn't for Caleb Johnson, if it wasn't for, you know, Calvin Austin, Freiermuth miscommunication, and that team looks like all of a sudden looks like world beaters as well. So I don't think you can really look at opponents right now. Sure, you would imagine the Lions will be there in the end. You assume the Bills are going to be there in the end, some two of the better teams. But it's hard right now, not even a month into the season, to sit there and say, this team's going to be good. This is a good win. This is a bad win. The bottom line right now is just win the game. And you can't deny the Steelers have found a way to do that two out of three times, and very easily could have been three times. It doesn't matter how you win. You can win so, ugly. Just win. Yeah.
And I tend to agree with that. I think the thing I come back to in recent history is, remember when they started the COVID year, 2020, 11-0, right? But there were quite clearly some serious flaws on that team. Like, the ball never got thrown more than 7 yards downfield. I think they played some teams in bad situations because they were missing players or the way the schedule fell. Or anyway, the point was they started 11-0. But we all knew there were a lot of major flaws in that team, and they ended up showing down the last 5-6 weeks of the season. Last year, to a lesser extent, they start 9-4 before they collapsed. And same thing. Everybody looks at it and goes, okay, yeah, that's great. You're stacking up these wins, but we're always waiting for the inevitable fall. I think you've almost got to turn it on its head a little bit this year. And I know people don't want to do this because we're so used to December's and January's not going well around here, but I would flip it on its head and say, yeah, they haven't looked great in the first three games, but to your point, they've started 2-1 and they've got a hell of a lot of room for improvement, in my opinion, which means like the 11-0 team in 2020, they started 11-0, but you didn't feel like there was a ton of room for improvement. You realized, hey, they're going to have to eke these things out every week. Last year, they started 9-4, but you looked at it and went, but how much longer can they keep this up? I look at this instead as they've started 2-1, despite not playing anywhere close to their best ball.
Yeah, and they're allowed to get better. That's the way I look at it right now. You got especially on the defensive side of the ball, a bunch of very talented players that should be able to get better as they get more reps together. And if it does not work out right now, then you point right to the coaching staff. I mean, this is getting to the point right now where, yes, you blame the coaches if this does not significantly get better, or at least incrementally get better as the weeks go on and on here, because there is no excuse of not having the talent. I mean, if they have everybody healthy back and ready to go, they're going to have, you know, 15, 16 guys on defensive alone you can just throw out there. I mean, just think about this for a second. If they get totally healthy, what are you going to do with, you know, a guy like Herbig? Is he going to play all the snaps? What are you going to do with a guy like, you know, Brandon Echols? He's never going to play. What are you going to do with, Y.A. Black? How much is he going to play as well? How much is Holcomb and Peyton Wilson going to play? So I think you have a chance to get a lot better right now. And I think that's why it's such a promising start to the season, at least in my eyes. You're 2-1 with a chance to get a lot better. On offense, I don't even think they've clicked near as much as well as they can potentially play. A lot of that has to do with the offensive line. And you have to have better offensive line play. But my goodness, they're scoring 90% of the time they touch the ball. They're scoring 90% of touchdowns they've touched the ball inside the red zone. Last year, they were 48%. So yeah, there's a lot of positives moving forward here, unless they take some kind of massive step backwards. And the massive step backwards is not going to be because of talent. It's going to be because of coaching and scheme.
Yeah.
That's where we're at.
And I think that's what gives lots of people their moment of pause, right? Because we know Steeler fans, I shouldn't say in general, but a very loud portion of Steeler fans, do not like the way the coaching has been handled the last few years. Whether they don't like Mike Tomlin, whether they don't like the assistants, they don't like the game planning, they don't like it. They don't like the fact that the offensive line hasn't developed yet. So, look, I'll grant you that and tell you and tell you this. A, they've started 2-1, and B, if they were to win 2 out of their next 3 and they were to start the season 4-2, I think you'd be satisfied with that. Had we told you that before the beginning of the season, hey, they're going to start 4-2 or 5-1. If that were to happen, you'd go, okay, well, they're doing something right. Mm-hmm. And maybe down the line in December and January, everybody that dislikes the coaching staff will look at it and say, okay, told you so, and they'll collapse down the stretch again. But the way I look at it, and again, I was very upset and very out against the coaching staff at the end of last season because of the late season collapse. But at this point in time, 3 weeks into the season, I'll look at it and take it for what it's worth. Like you said, face value, 2-1 start to the season, regardless of who the opponents are, 2-1 start to the season, and there's lots of room for improvement. If they don't improve, if they stagnate and then fall off late in the year, we'll be right back where we were last January. But if for some reason we do see that incremental improvement that you're talking about over the next 3-4 weeks, then like you said, you're talking about a team that has a ton of talent on the defensive side of the ball. And if they start to put things together on offense and start to put together some complete games, like I said, then we've got something much different.
Yeah. I mean, you're 2-1 now. You go to, if you can find a way to get the win in Ireland, to go to 3-1, have the bye, play Cleveland, go to Cincinnati. I mean, all of a sudden, you know, you're 5-1 with, you know, a team that maybe not be playing as great right now. And you look at the AFC North, or not the AFC North, just the AFC in general, when there's only
six teams above 500,
and three of them are like, I didn't see that coming. You know, the Colts, the Bengals, mm-hmm. How long are they going to stay there? And some maybe even say the Steelers as well. So, I mean, what I'm saying is it looks like just getting off to a 2-1 start with the schedule ahead of them right now, it looks like, you know, they're going to be in this for the long haul. I mean.
Well, they're going to play backup quarterbacks 2 of the next 3 games. And the game sandwiched in between those backup quarterbacks is the Browns.
Well, so, you can't run against the Browns, apparently, right?
So nobody can. Yeah. Well, and that's where I don't want to sit here and shoot rainbows and unicorns out our asses and blow smoke at people. Yeah. I mean, there are definitely things to work on, and that can all be talked about while still acknowledging that they've been, and I'll say lucky, they've been lucky to get out to this 2-1 start, but it is still a 2-1 start. And like I said, there's massive room for improvement. And I think you have to be, it would be much worse had they started 2-1 with wins against the Jets and the Patriots, but they had played the best possible football they could and there was no room for improvement. Yeah. And they had eked out wins over the Jets and the Patriots. Cause then you'd be going, man, if this is the best they can play and they're 2-1 in the first 3 weeks and they barely got by the Jets and the Patriots, what's that mean for the rest of the schedule? But now it's, yeah, okay. They barely beat the Jets and the Patriots. But they didn't play. Their defense barely showed up in week one. And their offense didn't really show up at all in week three. So, again, maybe we're being too sunny in our disposition after 3 weeks. But
I've seen it much worse at this time of the year where you're saying, boy, this team really is flawed. This team, you know, could be very flawed. I just don't think we're at that point to make that determination right now. I think they've won by pure talent alone right now. If they could be able to get everything else together, let's see how that works out right now. I mean, I think the biggest thing coming into this season was, you know, not the defense. I mean, not even the offensive line. It was the quarterback play. And I don't know how you can sit there and complain about what you got out of your quarterback through 3 games so far. So you talk about looking at a positive note here. I mean, you can't really play much better, I don't think, than Rodgers. Okay, you could say he struggled in New England, but you know, yeah, they sat on the bench a lot and just waited while the other while the defense, where they have to clean that up, as is giving up, you know, 12 play drives, 13 play drives, these long ass drives that then takes an offense out of rhythm as well. But I mean,
well, I think
as long as you have a quarterback playing how he has played, or he can play, or at least say he struggled at times against the Patriots, you know, when it came down to the end and when a play needed to be made, he made the play.
So that's part of it too. There's two things there. One, I think Rodgers is amongst all the other guys that has room for improvement. He's had some really nice moments in the first 3 weeks. He's come out strong in each game. Well, more so weeks one and three, but he's definitely, the offense has gotten points on the board early in each of these three games, even if it wasn't a touchdown each time. And so I like that. There's still room for improvement in Rodgers' game, though, too. It would help if you got a little more time to throw the ball, obviously. There's room for improvement in everybody's game. I don't think there's anybody out of the 53 that you could look at and go, well, that guy, Boswell, maybe, that you would look at and say, that guy's had a perfect first 3 weeks of the season. And so that's what I keep coming back to. There's room for improvement. And as long as that room exists, then I'm going to be okay continuing to eke out wins or steal wins, because I'll know there's room for improvement. Unlike past teams that started season strong and you were getting their best football right out of the gate in many instances, and you were just waiting for the bottom to fall out. Thanks to our friends at Higgins Professional Wall Covering and Painting for supporting Cabali and Mac as well. They've dedicated themselves to providing top-tiered painting services to the entire Pittsburgh area for the last 40 years. Knowledge, expertise, great customer service. They can do interior, exterior painting. They'll be in Kaboom's house soon, making things look nice in Mrs. Cabali's office. If not, well, in whatever room that is you're in with your press passes hanging on the wall. They can do it all. Drywall repair, commercial, industrial buildings as well. They know what works best and how to give your home that fresh new look and boost the curb appeal. You want to discuss your project and get your free estimate, get in touch with them at HigginsProfessional.com or just give them a call at 412-344-0480. We got to thank Higgins Professional Painting for supporting the show as well. Part of what has worked, obviously, the turnovers they caused this past week. And I just wanted to play a couple quick clips. One, you asked Patrick Queen on Sunday about turnovers.
Biggest thing for us when we get those turnovers, it fuels the team. It fuels the offense, fuels the special teams, our side of the ball, all that stuff happens. So as many times we get the ball back to eight, and those guys over there, we're going to be perfect. We're going to be fine.
So that's Patrick Queen talking about turnovers Sunday afternoon in the locker room in Foxborough. And then yesterday, TJ Watt had a media availability down on the south side, and he reiterated something Cam Hayward and Mike Tomlin and a couple other guys had said post-game Sunday about a focus on forcing those turnovers.
Interesting thing. We work turnover circuit every day, every week. We always preach the culture. I'd say this week the only difference was that we actually had some victims that have fumbled a lot. So that was definitely more a point of emphasis. 38, I think, fumbled seven times last year. I think four fumbled a couple. And then the rookie hadn't fumbled, I don't think. But it was definitely a point of emphasis, but it's hard to say if it was more so than other weeks.
So here's what I'll say that I don't think people are going to be real excited to hear. That emphasis on forcing the turnovers, that's coaching.
That's coaching. Well, they do that. I mean, that's probably every single coach in every single league. I mean, I'm sure if you go down to Pitt and watch Pat Narduzzi run a practice, they're doing the same thing. I mean, that's what you do. Try to get the ball out on defense, and it's ball security on offense. And if that's not number one priority at every single practice, then you probably shouldn't be a head coach or a coach in the NFL or higher level of football. So I'm not going to give them too much credit for saying, hey, let's get the ball out. I mean,
I'm not going to give anybody a Coach of the Year award for it, certainly. But I do think it's worth pointing out when things are done right. And the turnover thing was a big part of them winning Sunday's game. It's the reason they won on Sunday those turnovers, timely plays, and you could include Rodgers' timely touchdown pass to Calvin Austin late in the fourth quarter. But those timely plays and those turnovers, again, I'll make the comparison to the Lions-Ravens game last night. Hutchinson coming up with the fumble against Henry that keeps the Ravens from driving. A big fourth down stop, which the Steelers still have to work on the goal line. Those kind of plays are indicative, I think, of quality coaching. Whether we want to sit there and throw rose petals at their feet or not for it, I mean, it's here nor there, in my opinion. Every once in a while, you have to acknowledge when the coaching staff tells them to focus on something, they focus on it, and good things come from it.
Was I supposed to respond to that?
Yeah. If you're still awake.
Maybe I should take some of that Michael Jackson stuff.
No, don't do that. We'd prefer if you actually wake up. No, my point is,
I don't even know what you were talking about. I'm getting text messages, so
from other people making sure you're still alive.
No, people want to know what's up with this Higgins painting company. So go ahead.
So hold on. I want to make sure I wrap my brain around this properly.
Yeah, sometimes I don't pay attention to you. Yes.
No. Not that necessarily. Not that. I'm totally aware that you don't pay attention to me sometimes. But 5 minutes before the show is supposed to start, your phone is on silent and you're dead to the world. Once the show starts, you start paying attention to your phone.
Well, depending on who.
Just wanted to tie up that loose end.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. 99.99% of the people that text me, I have on mute. I just mute them all. There's like a handful of people.
Mute them all. Let God sort them out.
So there's about two people that I don't have on mute. So I know if I hear the buzz that I better probably should look at the phone. And you have not made that cut yet.
I haven't made the mute cut yet?
You haven't made the unmute cut.
Okay. So when I text, your phone should, right?
No, it just doesn't do anything. But if I hear a beep, I'm like, okay, this must be the wife. This must be important person number one or two. So I better look at it. And by the way, what in the world's going on in these comments over here?
I don't know.
Fights going on.
Are people angry with each other?
I don't know. I don't know if they're angry at us or they're arguing with each other, but this is like great theater.
It looks like somebody named Dale Gribble and somebody named Stu Spot are just arguing with each other.
Nice.
By all means, guys, if the comments are where you, and then somebody named Daniel tried to jump in at some point as well. If you guys want to argue with each other in the comments, by all means, we're all for it.
Yeah, anything that gets engagement, we're good for.
Engagement. Yeah, by all means. Horse, I need more engagement. My point was this. If you're going to get mad when the coaching doesn't scheme something up correctly, which is totally fine. I got plenty of criticisms about that. Whether it's the inability to cover a tight end in the middle of the secondary, which still exists as a problem, whether it's the inability to actually get the run game going or pass protect, all these things, or the inability to get the ball to your own tight ends, right? We've seen that in the last couple of weeks. I'm fine with all that criticism. I just need you to also be even-handed and acknowledge when sometimes coaching leads to good things happening, like forcing the 5 turnovers that essentially won you the game against the Patriots.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen. You only looked at the negative stuff. You don't look at the positive stuff, right? We're talking about Pittsburgh here, man. You just can't win.
Why is that? So
you just can't win. You have to win. And I mean, is there a possibility of a game that can happen and somebody be like, yeah, you know what? What a great game they played. I don't have any complaints at all. No, that will never happen. Never.
So I don't want to sound like an old man here, but look, we've both grown up most of our adult lives, if not our entire adult lives, in Western PA. Okay. And I don't remember it ever being to the point where it is now. Like, a game like that against the Patriots 20 years ago, people would have been like, man, we got lucky, but hey, heck of a job by that defense forcing five turnovers.
That's now, my defense, baby. That's Blitzburg, baby.
Right. Now the reaction is, man, these guys suck. They're never going to win another game. Bah, five turnovers. That's the only reason they won. I don't know. Again, I don't want to sound like an old man.
That's how you win games, by the way. That's how you win games, by the way. You force turnovers, but go ahead.
Yeah, ask the Lions and the Ravens about that. Like, so I don't understand why that, where, when and where that turned.
Probably, you know why? It's probably because they haven't won a Super Bowl since 2008. They probably haven't won a playoff game in 8 years. They get blown out. I mean, that's why it is. People are kind of edgy, I would assume.
But like, you could take me back. Like I said, I referenced 20 years ago. You could take me back to, like, 2004, okay? When they hadn't won a Super Bowl in, what, we were going on 25 years at that point. And there was a lot of frustration. But I would still see people look at a game like this and go, huh, man, they played like crap on offense most of the game, and they gave up that long drop. But, hey, five turnovers, you got to be happy they stole that win. Yeah. Instead, now it's
– you didn't turn it over.
They're lucky they won.
That team just fumbles a lot. But right. You know what? I'm not going to sit here and complain, because I'm the same way when it comes to the Pirates. If they put together two good weeks of baseball, I'd be like, screw them, dude. They're just going to suck eventually anyways. Maybe that's the same mindset we have here with but we get to that point.
That's definitely the same mindset you have towards the Pirates.
Yeah, because you've seen so much of it, but there's a difference between, you know, 8 years of not winning a playoff game or 15 years and what the Pirates have been able to put together. And the Pirates aren't even trying, but I think that's the case. It's like, you know, they can win a couple games and have me buying in, and they're just going to suck in the end like they always do anyways. So forget so this. Maybe that's I'm it. Falling just, for this one.
Yeah, it's just the defeatist attitude of, it doesn't matter what happens. They're just going to lose the first playoff game anyway. Which that, let's be honest, that is a philosophy and a logic that is pushed forward by a lot of people in town in the media. And I've been guilty of it at times as well. Well, it doesn't really matter. They're just going to lose that first playoff game anyway. But I think when you really wholeheartedly just completely douse yourself in that logic and don't allow yourself to see any of the good, you're really robbing yourself of what should be some level of satisfaction in winning a game that maybe you otherwise shouldn't have won because your offense disappeared for 35 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, on the flip side of that, or on another example of that, is I think the Penguins are going to get to that point here soon of, you know, they're not going to win anything for the next 3, 4, 5 years. Eventually, you're going to get tired of that as well. You're going to see 8,000 people there. Maybe it's just how Pittsburgh fan. Maybe it's, I don't know. I don't know if this happens everywhere else. I would assume that it does, though. I don't think it's specific to Pittsburgh. Of always having that, you know, we suck attitude, they're never going to win attitude. Well, imagine Baltimore. Baltimore put in all this money. They got a Hall of Fame quarterback, a two-time MVP quarterback, and we're 1-2? What in the world? Let's get rid of Harbaugh. Let's get rid of
there's
everybody.
Lots of people in Baltimore. I was checking the comments and checking the social media last night. There's lots of people in Baltimore that are pissed off and mad at the coaching staff. And mad at a number of different things because of the way they played the first 3 weeks. I do think the one big caveat is obviously look at who they've played in the first 3 weeks. And they've played, again, probably the two best teams in the NFL are the two teams they've lost to. But there's plenty of dissatisfaction there, especially because Harbaugh similarly has a long championship drought like Tomlin's. So, you know, I get it. We want to see our teams win a championship every year. Of course we do. Like, we're fans. That's what we want. But I think sometimes we get so caught up in it that we fail to let ourselves enjoy when good things do happen. Like, if I would have been a teenage kid who hadn't witnessed a Steelers Super Bowl win firsthand at that point in time and saw the Steelers defense force five turnovers on the road to steal a game, I'd have been happy about it.
I can't help it.
Maybe I'm just too optimistic.
No, no, I'm just, they're exchanging addresses where they can go fight now.
No, they're not.
We'll be fighting over here now.
Stop. You want to argue with each other, argue with each other. This is Jesus. What's happened to people? Thanks to the Dan Heck team for supporting the show. They've been forward since the very beginning. Go to heckteamhomes.com. H-A-E-C-K. Heckteamhomes.com. If you're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area, maybe you want to buy a house so you have some place to fight people that you get in arguments with in the Kabali and Mac chat room. By all means, get a hold of the team there at Heck Team Homes. Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, Corey, John, Keith, Heather, Mike, Tia, all there waiting to help you. Heckteamhomes.com. H-A-E-C-K. Heckteamhomes.com. Stop trying to fight each other in the comments.
That would be good. Local podcasters.
Local podcast listeners meet for fight outside.
You'd have to like release a statement. We do not condone this.
I mean, it might get us some free publicity. What are they saying? No such thing as bad publicity?
Oh, I'm sure there's bad publicity.
I do want to acknowledge, though, too, that just because we're looking at the bright side of the 2-1 start doesn't mean we're ignoring all the things that are still issues. Like Daryl says, the offense needs to get more than 7 points off 5 turnovers. Absolutely, Daryl. Like, nobody's arguing about that. Nobody's arguing about the lack of pass protection, the lack of run offense. Like I said, the inability to cover tight ends in the middle of the field, that seems to still be a thing. All of the different issues that exist are still there and need to be worked on. I think the greater point here is, before we let this topic die about sort of the greater processing of the Steelers' first three games, is that you can acknowledge all those things exist and then go, yeah, but they're 2-1, which means they could get better because they've gone 2-1 with all these things going wrong, rather than, yeah, they're 2-1, but they suck because of all these things.
Yeah, it was a bad win.
Yeah, there's no such thing as a bad win. They don't look at it at the end of the year and go, well, they went 10-7, but a couple of those wins were really ugly. Remember, they only beat the Patriots because they forced 5 turnovers, and they only beat the Jets because they scored late. No, nobody's going to count it that way. They're just going to count it as a win. So try to enjoy it.
And they got a lot more room for improvement. That's what we're getting at right now. It shows TJ Watt looks like he's figuring it out, right? Cam Hayward figuring it out. We expect them guys to be it.
Derek Harmon, instant impact, right?
I mean, he's a guy that, you know, I just throw in there almost this week and just say it's yours, you know.
Yeah.
You might split Black and Benton. Joey Porter should be coming back soon. Wait till Deshaun Elliott, their best safety, comes back.
And then so Jalen Ramsey doesn't have to be their best safety anymore. It could be their best corner.
Now, they could just crap the bed when they do come back. But what I'm saying is there's at least some hope here that they might have this figured out or have a idea. Maybe not legendary defense or historic defense, but a defense can win you some games. And nothing really bothers me more than, you know, the Patriots fumbled the ball. They can't let that happen. You know, the Steelers had something to do with that. They forced some of the fumbles, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like the Ramondre Stevenson's are going over and say, oh, look what's happened. Let me just throw the ball on the ground. Put their hand on the ball and force a fumble. I mean, so offensively, I think the next big step is in where if you see a next jump, is they got to start figuring out this offensive line. I mean,
yeah, the Driz on YouTube says, if you're a defense and know the offense won't hold the ball beyond 3 seconds, doesn't that allow you to attack the line with 7 or 8 guys almost 75% of the time? Yeah, and I think that's one of those issues that harkens all the way back to the Canada offense and really goes all the way back to that 2020 team that I was talking about earlier that started 11-0. you knew that they had to get rid of the ball quickly and that there weren't going to be really any deep routes getting developed or being attacked. So you'd play a single high safety, you'd crowd the box, you'd make it difficult, not just to run the ball, but to complete anything that would take more than 2.2 seconds to complete. And I think you're going to see, especially a Brian Flores-led defense this weekend, continue to attack the Steelers' offense in that way and make it difficult for them to gain any chunk plays unless you're getting some of those things you got early in the Jets game where Rodgers would hit Metcalf and Freiermuth and Austin in stride and let them pick up yards after the catch.
Yeah, but it's only so long you can continue to do that, though. You know, some of the wide receiver screens, some of the smoke screens to the receivers, some of those quick throws. Eventually, you're going to have to be able to take those seven-step drops and throw the ball down the field like a normal offense. And I know they're hesitant of doing that right now because you just haven't seen that very much so far. So, I mean, in a way, you give the Arthur Smith and company credit because they know, hey, we better have something figured out here because we're not going to be able to let this guy hold on to the ball as much as maybe we would want to. But you can't continuously play offense that way. So this offensive line has to get better. I mean, they didn't allow a sack, but that doesn't mean squat to me against the Patriots because they – I mean, I didn't look at the numbers, but I'm sure the time that Rodgers held on to the ball was minimal. And you're not going to get a lot of big plays. You're going to get a lot of 7-8-man boxes. You're going to get a lot of stuff like that if that occurs. So you have to fix this offense. I mean, fix. There's no fixing about it. You got to play better. You got to somehow play better. If it's scheme-wise, if it's mentality-wise, I mean, put guys in two-point stances is not always my favorite thing to do early in downs. Put those guys in three-point stance and let them blow off the ball and let's run the ball. I think that's what they did a couple years ago.
But, I think there's something to be said, too, for just adding. I know it's not something you want to do all the time, but they did it one play that I remember on Sunday. Throw an extra offensive lineman out there just to help. Or continue to use, the old nipple rubber. Number 74 is eligible. Or continue to use Darnell Washington more as almost like an extra offensive lineman. Mm. At least if he's out there, you know he's actually an eligible who can catch the ball if you decide to go that way. And do everything you can to help that offensive line find some kind of traction. Because, like you said, if that doesn't happen, then this offense really, truly is going to start to get bogged down in those quick hitters, those screens, those plays that, I mean, more often than not, don't gain you more than 3-4 yards at a time. And that's a successful version of that play.
You can't even, I mean, how many times did he play action, legit play action? Not many.
Maybe three on Sunday.
You're not going to turn your back to him, to the defense at this point right now when you're having that type of issues protecting him. So that's half of the game. I mean, that's where your big plays are going to come in. That's where your chunk plays are going to come in at right now. I'm not worried about the offensive. I'm not worried about Jaylen Warren. I'm not worried about Metcalf or even to the tight ends to a degree. I'm just getting to that point where you're going to have to start seeing a better performance from the offensive line. Fatanu didn't play well the other day, didn't play his best. Doesn't mean he's not going to figure it out, but he hasn't played his best. I mean, Frazier hasn't played his best. Obviously, Broderick hasn't played his best, but he hasn't allowed a sack in two games. So, you know, baby steps there. They got to do something. I mean, there's no magic elixir on the bench. You got to deal with these five guys that you have and hope they get better.
Another good comment by Daryl on YouTube, and this is something that I'll continue to beat the dead horse about: these offensive linemen should have been playing together in the preseason. This is the NFL now, he says. The first 3 weeks are like preseason still. And he's not wrong. Like, a lot of teams are just trying to figure out what's going to work in the first few weeks of the regular season because nobody plays together in the preseason anymore. nobody plays a lot of starters. So you're still trying to find a lot of that chemistry and what works through the first 3 weeks of the season, first 4 weeks of the season. And I'll say it again. If the Steelers can somehow start 3-1 and get to the bye week and feel like, okay, now we know what the hell we're doing, that's not a bad thing.
No, absolutely not. I mean, it could be much worse than it is right now. Now, it doesn't mean that's not how it's going to be moving forward right here. There's probably going to be some hiccups and there's going to be probably some more injuries, but I mean, I don't see how you can sit here and say that that game in New England was not give you a little bit more hope that this could be a team that can, you can't say I don't have much hope in this team. They're just a 9-10 win team in my eyes. You know, 10 win team in the NFL is not goddamn bad. It's not bad. I mean, you can't be like, oh, I'm the same old Steelers. They're going to win 10 games. What?
I'll take that in a heartbeat. Here's the problem. You can win 9 or 10 games this year and get in as a wild card, and you know none of it's going to matter unless they win a playoff game. And even then, I guarantee you what will happen is, let's say they play Indy or Jacksonville or Houston or I don't know, whoever the hell it may be, in a wild card game, and they win it. You know what's going to happen? People are going to go, well, yeah, but they didn't beat Baltimore or Buffalo or Kansas City. I mean, there's no pleasing some folks until they walk off the stage with the Lombardi. And even then, it might not be happening.
Yeah, imagine what they're saying in Kansas City right now. Imagine what they're saying in Denver. Denver was, you know, the sexy pick right now. And Denver's 1-2. I mean, when you got Indy, Jacksonville, Cincinnati, I guess Pittsburgh is four of your top six teams in the AFC right now. I think that says a lot that the AFC might not be as deep as maybe we thought it was.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because right now, and Sloss Boss is pointing out how tough the schedule gets. If you look at remaining strength of schedule ranking, they're second toughest in the league, I think. But
yeah, you know what I say about that.
I know what you say about that. You don't believe in it. You think it's trash. But then again,
it can change.
It can definitely change. I'll grant you that. All right. Thanks to Arch for supporting the show. Great place to go for a Monday night to watch the game. Middle of the week, too. 80-cent wings Monday through Thursday every night down at Archie's on Carson, Pittsburgh's best place for food, drinks, and sports. Not just the wings, sandwiches, burgers, flatbread, pizzas, too. And, of course, great daily drink specials as well. You can always get an ice cold iron down there or just walk up and say, hey, give me an icy light. Either way, they got you covered down at Archie's on the south side. We appreciate Arch supporting the show here.
And it's Tasty Tuesday at Arch's.
Ooh, might have to stop for some wings.
I really need some wings. I really need some Arch wings.
So do I, but I had tacos last night, and I might need to swing by and grab some of those dude wipes. It's not been a good morning. Tacos fighting back.
Dumpkins.
Yeah, the tacos are fighting back, and I won't mention where we got
them. I'm not a big taco guy.
See, we got them from
Taco Tuesday.
Oh, I didn't even realize yesterday. Yeah, we screwed that up, didn't we? Maybe that's the problem. We got them from a place that's usually pretty good, but they're fighting me this morning. Anyway,
maybe that's a you problem, as my kid says.
Maybe.
Maybe that's 6-7.
Stop it. I get that constantly from my son. 6-7. You did not do that well in picks this week, Kaboom. Just to update everybody.
I'm aware, but hey.
You went 8-8. And these aren't with the spreads. These are just straight up. You blew Tennessee. You had the Titans beating the Colts. We both blew Houston against Jacksonville. We both blew Atlanta against Carolina. How about Michael Penix Jr. getting benched? Penix. You had Philly over the Rams, so you got saved by a last-second field goal block. I had that wrong. We both had Tampa. You foolishly took the Raiders once you found out that Marcus Mariota was going to be playing for the Commanders. I took Washington. We both got Baltimore wrong last night. We both got Green Bay wrong. Everybody got that one wrong. You got the Broncos wrong. I had the Chargers. We both nailed Seattle over New Orleans. I had San Francisco over Arizona. You did not. You did have the Bears over the Cowboys. I'll give you that one. And we both called the Chiefs and the Steelers winning as well. So I went 10-6 on the week. You went 8-8. I've now got a 2-game lead over you.
Well, I think, you know, just like Banana Ball, you just won week.
I won the inning.
3. So it's 1-1-1.
That's not how it works. These aren't banana ball.
That's how banana ball works. Those
cumulative picks over the course of the season.
That's baloney.
I'll beat you either way. It doesn't matter. We mentioned it briefly yesterday, but I'm going to remind everyone real quick because Kaboom's got to run out and get to the Mike Tomlin press conference. Stop it. Sunday, we will be not in Dublin. We won't be in Dublin, lad. But we will be in Creighton, Pennsylvania. We will be at Pittsburgh Brewing. They are going to have a big watch party. They'll have kegs and eggs in the morning. Chris Higby will be performing at halftime. We'll be there watching the game as well. Kaboom will be a couple minutes after kickoff because he's got to do a pregame show for the fan. And then we'll do a live postgame edition of the podcast right there at Pittsburgh Brewing. So come on out for the fun. They'll have stuff set up outside, a tent, of course, in case of weather. They'll have stuff set up inside at the brew pub, all kinds of great things going on at Pittsburgh Brewing on Sunday. So get on out there early. We will be there all day. The game kicks off at 9:30, obviously, and then doing the live edition of the post-game show from Pittsburgh Brewing as well. Can't wait to see you out there. It should be a good time, Kaboom. Yeah. How many mangoes are you going to have?
Yeah, if I don't show up like exactly on time, don't start like crying and like running in circles like a little, you know what?
I mean, you have to admit that it has to feel good to have someone worry about you like that.
Not really.
No? You want to just be able to slip off the face of the earth and no one ever know?
You know, when I'm like driving on the old Route 43 or something, I see that one house way up on top of the hill by itself. It's like, that's where I want to be. I don't want to be around any people.
I mean, we should get you something similar to the Medic Alert bracelet, just in case. Because I don't want to have to, like, I don't want to have something actually happen to you one day, and I have to run over there and find you, like, laying on the floor, pants around your ankles, because you blew a blood vessel trying to take a dump, you know?
You must think I'm, like, on death's door or something here.
No, but again, when you show up 15 minutes late for the show and don't respond to any messages,
it creates
a level of concern.
I ran into traffic.
Yeah, from your cotch to the desk. Thanks to our friends at Third Do First In for supporting the show as well. Firefighter First Responder Podcast. Great stories from Keith and Gino and all of their guests as well. Whether you exist in that walk of life or you just want to hear about it, follow them on social media and get the show on YouTube as well as where you get all your podcasts. Third Do First In. We appreciate their support of the show. Don't forget, you've still got a chance to maybe win the autographed Will Hard helmet or the Stone Cold Steve Austin autographed vest from First and Goal Collectibles at South Hills Village, firstandgoalsports.com to check out their entire inventory. You want to be one of the first 3,018 subscribers on YouTube to have a shot at that. We're going to wrap it up so Kaboom can get down to the south side and try not to nod off during Mike Tomlin's press conference.
I'm just watching Penta's Avalanche Mexican Destroyer on Grayson Waller last night. That's just unbelievable.
I'll be honest. I missed the whole weekend of WWE. I missed SmackDown. I missed WrestlePalooza because we were at a wedding. And I missed Raw last night. So
Cody versus Seth at Crown Jewel in Australia.
Oh, title versus title.
It looks like it's going to be Rhea versus Asuka.
Okay.
There was a lot of – last night's Raw was a lot of women's wrestlers. It was probably about 4 matches maybe, I'm guessing, now of women wrestlers. War Raiders shows back up. Cena Rollins with the opening promo.
Cena and Rollins. Okay, I got to go back and catch up.
I've not seen a Rollins. Rollins and Cody.
Oh, okay.
Cena only has 5 dates.
not to spoil anything, didn't Cena get destroyed on Saturday night?
9 minutes. He got effed five, like, eight times.
What's the point?
You would always think there's a bigger point to it all.
What's the point? What, Brock Lesnar needs this giant push late in his career? He needs to go out and just demolish John Cena?
You always hope that it will be coming. We don't know yet.
All right. Well, thanks to everyone for watching. We appreciate every single one of you. Like I said, make sure you're following at Kabali and Mac on all your social media and you're subscribed on YouTube. Listen for some very insightful questions from Mark during the Mike Tomlin press conference shortly. And we'll talk to you again maybe tomorrow to break down the Mike Tomlin press conference here, assuming Kaboom wakes up in time for the show. See you. Bye. Love you.